Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Webber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, September the 27th, 2020. And I have the honor to have whistleblower Scott Bennett on with me. Scott's famous for working in the same building as Edward Snowden, except I think he's a little more famous. Spent about 30 and a half months in jail illegally as a federal whistleblower, blowing a whistle on terrorist financing. And also have Professor Paul on. He's been on several times with me. He's a former educator, principal of school districts, very bright man, 40 years of wisdom and knowledge, God, and also the events of today. Now, Scott, I'm kind of leaving this anymore with my radio show kind of as an open forum between certain people. Tell me what the latest is in your opinion on where our country is at and our planet.
Well, I think the majority of people in the United States are waking up to the fact that we've had a massive psychological operation and an attempt to turn us into a police state using the COVID-19 false flag PSYOP that was nothing more than a potential flu, if anything. And the Democrat governors in California and Seattle and Illinois and New Jersey have all responded with their typical authoritarianism. And Joe Biden has concurred that everyone in the country must be locked down and forced to wear a mask and essentially be put into solitary confinement as a prison state. And it's taken a long time for the American public to kind of wake up and get out of this lethargy. But they're finally waking up, and they're having global protests in London and in Victoria. They're having states like Florida under Governor DeSantis completely throwing out all COVID-19 restrictions and the fines that they've put on people. This is going to have a domino effect. People are rejecting the COVID-19.
Now, this Florida governor, he is really a patriot, in my opinion. I saw him on the House Judiciary, House Oversight Committees, throwing the FBI over the false proceedings against Flynn, all kinds of different people. The Strzok's, yeah. All those pieces of garbage. Now, DeSantis was there, and now he's the governor. And this guy is a level-headed, straight character, in my opinion. Very few that should be voted back in office.
He could be the next president after Trump too. Let's not forget. He's essentially put himself up as a hero of the country. And I think Donald Trump is going to destroy Biden at these debates, with Judge Amy Barrett being nominated, and she's like Julie Andrews, very pretty, very feminine. Any attacks they do on her will backfire. And they'll be seen as ugly, ferocious, violent, lunatic Democrats. So Trump is going to benefit from the Judge Coney Barrett, number one in her class, top judge. He's also going to benefit from his natural propensity to be Rocky Balboa as a boxer in these debates. He's going to destroy Biden. People need to pray for Biden's absolute destruction and falling apart into a fetus position or running off the stage, you know, forgetting who he is. Those things can happen if people pray. And, of course, we want to pray for the president that he's elected. But let's be clear. The Democrats are going to rob, kill, and destroy and absolutely act like werewolf lunatics to try and disrupt this election. They're going to try and invent false ballot situations. And Americans need to be prepared to defend this president to the death, because they're defending their country and their children and their grandchildren from the death that the Democrats would bring. Any stupid idea that Biden and Harris and Ocasio-Cortez and these left-wingers would have any mercy is absolutely foolishness, because they would be the most bloodlust, drunk, revengeful bigots and racists that has ever walked American soil. So Americans need to be prepared to defend this president, to arm themselves well, get down into their communities, set up tables that say Democrats for Trump or Independents for Trump. Everybody knows the Republicans are already there. We don't need to advertise that. We do need to advertise those people who are coming out of this Democrat darkness and lead them to the light. But make no mistake, there is a civil war going on right now, and we need to be prepared to stand up, defend him, and absolutely crush and destroy any left-wing BLM, Antifa, communist, Chinese-funded counter-coup operation that they may try and take. This is the time the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment for. Judge Barrett and her Supreme Court position, essentially the Supreme Court will affirm that every American has the right to keep and bear arms. They do not need to have a permit. And in defense of their life, liberty, property, and family, they can kill anybody that tries to kill or attack or steal from them. Those beliefs and principles that existed in 1776 all the way up to 1950 and 60 until things started turning dark, those beliefs are once again going to come back into American consciousness, and I think we will have a renaissance in this country because people are ready for real conservative constitutional belief in judges and culture and political figures. Donald Trump has ignited that fire. It is our mission duty to keep that fire burning and to stop anybody who tries to quench it.
Well said, Scott. Professor Paul, are you there?
I am.
You want to comment?
Yes, Scott, excellent analysis. And I'm encouraged by the hopefulness in your narrative and also that you believe with the Second Amendment and the wakening up of some people that we really have a good shot at making a difference here. COVID-19 is obviously a huge psyop. It doesn't make sense by the numbers. It doesn't make sense to any of us who are thoughtful, who are thinking critically, who see it for what it is. But for instance, in my neighborhood, there's 30 houses in the association, and we've got Jesuit communist board of directors, and we're told in this area that when we're out, we're to be wearing masks, and in the commons area, of course. Now, and this is even outside. There's a pool here and some other common area, but because we've got five or six people that have underlying health conditions. Now, of course, I see it as totally ridiculous, and but I'm at war with these people here because it is really hard to even have a conversation with people who are wearing masks to take a walk to the nature center. So I'm really encouraged by what you're saying, but COVID-19 is diabolically evil and brilliant, you see, because Joe Biden was just on recently, and I don't watch the news much, but I did happen to catch a commercial of his. And here's what Biden is saying. He's saying everyone's going to get tested, everyone's going to wear a mask, and everyone's going to social distance, and everyone ultimately is going to get vaccinated. So we are really in that civil war right now.
Yes.
And right now, of course, it's still largely words. But we've got Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all of these other groups that are part of a bigger narrative. And the reason that I think they're able to push those narratives on it is way back as far as Reagan, they started whittling away and destroying the rule of law. And once you take away the rule of law, then you lose functioning civil institutions like the court system that enforce rule of law, and then you lose functioning civic society. And so we're really in a huge mess. And I'm going to defer back to you guys because I could go on and on, and I want to hear what
you're
saying.
Let me say one thing, Professor. I admire your acumen, and you're exactly right. And I would add this. I had a debate yesterday on Press TV, and Stu Webb's been on there too. He knows Press TV, and it's an Iranian TV channel, but it's very, very conservative. It's like RT and Sputnik, and I always try and represent a conservative constitutional voice of wisdom. And they had a debate all about this election and the Judge Barrett and what was going on in America. And I was debating some leftist from London. And I said, look, America, for the last 70 years, we have been dissolving and corroding and destroying ourselves because law has been changing and loosening our morals, destroying the family with the introduction of pornography, allowing all of these things to seep into our culture and to poison the culture. The LGBT, homosexuality, the taking of the homeless off the streets and leaving them there to infect the rest of society, all of these things happen as a result of law. Law changes culture, and culture changes and defines life. So for 7 years, since 1950, if you will, and it actually happened before that, but let's just say 1950 on, you've had 70 years of introducing these immoral laws that have destroyed the family, destroyed marriage, destroyed the whole notion of a wholesome sexuality, destroyed with the nuclear family, destroyed them with the feminist ideology and rabid man hatred and all of the things that have come into the public school systems and teaching atheism and evolution and forbidding a spiritual worship and all of these things that we had before 1950. All of this has been redefined by law, and we have a generation of lunatic, Antifa, BLM, spray-painting, purple-haired, transgender, schizophrenic, violent thugs burning down our cities, beating up people, beating up women and old people. There's no judgment whatsoever. All of these lunatics, we have grown out of the soil of America that has been made toxic with all of these bad laws. And Amy Barrett represents a paradigm shift, 90 degrees, if not 180, but 90 degrees back in the direction of conservative constitutional interpretations of the law, the inviolable rights of man, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the right to freedom of speech, the right to assemble in religious worship, the right to defend yourself with the Second Amendment. All of these things are going to be resurfaced with Amy Barrett and the conservative court. And because law will be changed back to the conservative constitutional beliefs that we had before, the culture will shift to more of a conservative character. And that will naturally, it's like raising the sun. When the sun rises, the darkness just dispels. And I think we're going to see a lot of the toxicity and madness beginning to dispel and disintegrate as this conservative court rises.
Well, that's just part of it, as far as the court's concerned. And I'm in agreement with him. Scott, we've got the problems. And it comes back to people, you know, I'm 66 years of age. I'm not sure your age, Scott, but and Paul, but you both are getting up there in the 50s and 60s. But, you know, I can look at all this stuff and look clear back into the 70s, how it was screwed up. And, you look at the Watergate, you look at the Kennedy assassination, you look at World War II and the OSS and that forward, and you're a former Army intelligence officer, tracking finance terrorist financing, et cetera. Now, I mean, it takes a lot to be in that position. You got a doctrine. You're a whistleblower now. You spent 38 and a half months in jail. You've seen this country turned upside down, and what you're talking about and the raising of the children. I mean, look, I know a lot of black people. I have a lot of black audience who will be hearing this. A lot of people. I've met people in Kansas City that listen, that are black, that listen to my radio programs and have for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years and longer. Now, they're telling me in the black community, it was the mama's, that's my baby's mama.
Yeah, that's their term.
Yeah, baby's mama. No, and this is nothing against the black community at all. But we've had a whole generation of this. We've had it with the whites. We've had it with the blacks. We've had it with Hispanics. We've had it with the whole bit, where the family unity is not there. And these kids are being brought up, and I've read these absent father, absent mother syndrome reports where they don't have a father in their life. They end up being a homosexual. If they don't have a female in their life, they end up being lesbian. 50% of the time, straight across the board, folks. And I'll try to take that report I've got and get it up here on my website today just so people can look at it. It's bizarre to see how the destruction of America has come and the education and everything else and what they have laid out for America. It was all designed to intentionally destroy the family, destroy the unit that we have, and destroy God in everybody's lives. Now, Scott, you made a very significant statement early on in the program here about prayer and the debates on Tuesday night. What should we be doing? Binding up the enemy?
Well, we should pray for God's blessing on Donald Trump and his destruction of Biden and his destruction of the Democrats and these other forces of darkness and evil. Let us not be bold. Let us not be backful. Let us be bold. Let us claim the God's blessing. We have a right to ask God's judgment on the evil and the evil that is trying to take over our country and infect laws and these the savage abortion and murder of children and the homosexuality and the transgenderism and all of this perversion of sexuality. When I did my doctorate, that was one of the key issues that I studied, and I worked at Heritage Foundation. I worked at Health and Human Services. I know exactly that the destruction of a nation starts in the destruction of a family, and that starts in the destruction of sexuality itself and the dynamics of sexual union between a man and a woman, husband and wife, and all that flows from that. They have focused and concentrated on the destruction of sexuality and the perversion of sexuality, and it's led to all of these other political and social perversions. So we have to pray for the president to be enlightened. He's got some loose areas in some of these areas. He's got the rainbow flag sometimes under the embassies, which I don't like. But he believes in 50% plus one of my values. That's how we decide our presidents and anybody else who believes and agrees with 50% plus one of our values. We don't agree on everything, but we have to agree on 50% plus one. Trump believes in our values, and we need to pray for his success and his strength and his protection, and at the same time pray for the destruction, the blindness, and the falling backwards of Biden and all of these Democrats, because they, like you said, Stu, they are going to force people to wear masks, force people to be tested and vaccinated, and we cannot ever allow that to happen.
Well, as a former United States Marine, it will never happen underneath my friggin' watch because I'll go batshit crazy.
Right, right. I agree.
Hey, the Marine Corps taught me not to take any prisoners, okay? So if I go batshit crazy, the party's going to start.
Yep. I have a question for both of you guys, and really it comes down to the military and who exactly is running the military, and is there a military that's unified, or is there a military that's fragmented between the forces of the deep state and their agenda for one world government, one world religion, one world currency, versus those in the military that might be loyal to us in the narrative that we're proposing?
Well, go ahead, finish your thoughts, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I think you're already anticipating what I was just going to say, and so go ahead. You figured out where I'm going.
I would say this, and I'll let Stu chime in, of course, too. I would say that the military as an organization is starved for good, bold, conservative, lion-hearted leadership. They have had none of that in at least 10 years. And the good officers, like myself, were pushed out, weeded out by Obama and his effeminate LGBT colonels and majors and lieutenant colonels and generals that were coming in. And they've been starved. I remember hardcore special forces guys and rangers that I trained with and I served with at SOCOM and CENTCOM. who are enlisted, and I got a direct commission, saying to me, sir, the man hatred is so bad down here. And these are the best of the best soldiers telling me how abused and tormented they were. Well, those military, those enlisted, those hard-charging guys are on Trump's side. They're masculine. They're conservative. They're God-fearing. The higher brass may be totally perverted and distorted and leftist and corrupted because they're bureaucrats put in by Obama. But Trump can get core leaders like myself and others. I will always reaccept my commission and come back in and say, I will lead, and many others will do too, a renaissance in our military by going, who's on the president's side? Who is a hard-charging patriot? Not someone who just wants to go to war and increase your rank and get paid, but who believes in the Constitution and returning our military to what it should be and needs to be under the Constitution. And we can go in there and trigger an awakening in the military simultaneously with triggering an expungement from the military of these bad officers. And that includes bad bureaucrats at the CIA and the DIA and the FBI. Trump needs military, hard-charging, special operations team individuals to come in looking like a bull looking for a red cape to thrust its horns into. And that's the attitude. That's what's needed for guys to come in and help Trump clean house in the military. He's not had that. He's not done that. He's not had good advisors in military uniform. And that's been part of his problem. But that's easily remedied by bringing in people like Stu Webb, like myself, like others who've worn a uniform and can come in and do a complete kicking down the door, saying, you, Colonel so-and-so, you, Admiral so-and-so, you get your badge packed. You're out of this office now. Your ass is out. The president says so. Here's the card. Next, this kind of purge, which is similar to Operation Valkyrie, that needs to happen. And I say that very advisedly, but we have such a cancerous infection in the military and the intelligence services that the only way to get rid of it is to go in there like a bull and start just tearing the guts out of all of these feminine, compromising Democrat liberals, like we saw with the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, that piece of garbage who said, you need to call me Lieutenant Colonel, even though he's not worthy of being called a Lieutenant Colonel. He's an absolute piece of garbage because of his character and his treason. These sort of people are all over the military. So we have to not ask them to leave, but grab them by the scruff of the neck and throw them out. And they should pray that we have mercy, that we don't throw them in front of a firing squad for what they've done. Go ahead, Stu.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, Scott. Something is going to have to be done. And I am aware that if the country keeps going in the direction that it's going, probably by the end of the year, we're going to be having a battle, okay? And I have no problem going to combat and against the enemy. But I'm in agreement with you at the top level, because I'll use this as an example. Super Spook Otis Johnson. People can go to the Stu Webb radio bar and hear a 17-minute only private conversation I ever had with him that I recorded, because I had a hit on me. He had one on him. He mentioned going to Bluffdale to the artificial intelligence, 5 stories below ground or 6 stories below ground, the alien base out there at Bluffdale, Utah. Here's the deal. He was the super spook. He tried to bust Daddy Bush, him and Casey, and Casey got murdered over it. As he lays on his deathbed, he tells Otis and one other that were stop assistants what Bush did to him, shoved a needle in his cerebral hemorrhage through his temple, while two goons held him down because he was going to testify that George Bush Sr. Daddy was out of control. Now, Otis was his partner. Otis saw Daddy Bush doing a human sacrifice in Denver, Colorado, as he took an order, flew on an Air Force jet, got an order signed by Casey that had to be done that evening. And he was at the old Navari in downtown Denver, and he sits there and looked at Daddy Bush with his hood and says, sir, you have to pull your hood back. I have to see your face. He said, Otis, if you repeat what you've seen in here, he says, I will kill you personally. He says, yes, sir, and he left with the order signed. Now, Otis was a super spook. He sat on the NSA, and you may be familiar with this, Scott. Certain people are think tanks of the NSA at night, during the day, at various times. I think there's three different or four different shifts of them, so they don't get them tired. They're older gentlemen that were the super spooks and the smart ones. Matter of fact, I said, where are you going to be buried at? Otis, he says, I won't be. He says, if I ever die, part of my agreement is they get to dissect my brain. Creighton University got his body, is what his son told me, after they murdered him. Now, they murdered him a few years back, 2 weeks before they arrested General Flynn. And you're familiar with General Flynn, Scott, without speaking it. I think he's an honorable guy. And I know that Otis told me that if Mueller doesn't do his job and arrest Hillary Clinton on her false dossier created by the Justice Department and her against Trump, he says he will find himself in a prison cell. Now, 2 weeks later, or 2 months later, Otis is dead. General Flynn's arrested 2 weeks after that. I said, oh, they're cratering the system. These are people that were working to try to change things, folks. There are still people trying to change things. But I'm in agreement with you, Scott. We're going to have to back them up. Now, here's what Otis told me. He says, Stu, I said, if the American people ever rise, what's going to happen? Is the military going to turn against the American people? He says, no. He says, 8 out of 10 of them will support the American people. He says, the upper echelon will have to be cleansed, like you just spoke of, Scott. He said, the upper echelon of the government, of the military, will have to be cleansed.
That's right.
And he says,
that's right.
Whether it's by the people or whether it's by the military themselves, he says, I don't know, but he says, I believe that the military will rise up and clean its own. Now,
you've got to have military men do it, Stu. As you know, there is a certain bearing that we have because of our training, our ferocity. We go into combat mode, and that is exactly what we need to do to go into the Pentagon and these agencies and treat them like enemies, like spies, as if they were freaking Chinese spies working in our Pentagon, wearing a uniform. We go in, we kick open the door and say, you, Long Duck Dong, out here right now and pray I don't put a bullet in your head right this second. And the moment they give lip is you punch them right in the mouth and drop them like a sack of potatoes, and you grab them by the neck and you grab them by the belt and you haul them out like a bag of potatoes they are, and you throw them in a truck and you take them into a military prison. There's no mercy. There's no compromise. There's no tolerance. We go into the Pentagon. We kick open the doors, and we go in with a squad of guys, and we grab the admirals and the generals and the colonels and the lieutenant colonels and the majors, and we take them all out. Essentially, it's like Glengarry Glen Ross. You're all fired, and you have 30 days to earn your job back and maybe earn your life back. And I mean that advisedly, because you could be executed for treason. And then raise up the lieutenants, the second lieutenants, the captains, and give them battlefield commissions, three ranks above where they are, and repopulate the military with hardcore, constitutional, conservative, patriotic Americans that are not looking to go to war against Iran or against Russia or against any country, but are looking to solidly defend the borders of the United States of America. And that's essentially where we need to go and what we need to do, because this military has turned into a parallel government of America. We've got 900 bases all over the world. And it's unnecessary. It's not advancing our mission. We need a far different civil affairs PSYOP mission. And really, Russia is not the enemy of the United States. Not even Iran is an enemy. There's problems there that can be worked out, but it's China. But that's part of the problem. The Democrats and Biden and everyone for the last 20 years has sold out to China in exchange for cheap goods, cheap products. We've sold our souls to China and the 30 pieces of silver. So military guys need to go in. The president needs to have a core group of military guys in plain clothes. You don't have to be wearing your uniform. You can go in plain clothes But you can also go in your uniform and be part of the president's task force. And he could, again, initiate an Operation Valkyrie where he goes in throughout the Pentagon and the CIA in one day with 12 teams of, four to six men each, go into all of these offices and clean out all of these officers and take them to a holding facility to be debriefed and questioned and determined if they should be released or if they should be confined, and then judge if they're worthy of maintaining their commission or if they're worthy of quiet removal, meaning retirement or whatever it may be. But that's what needs to happen, is a blitzkrieg strike into the Pentagon, and you have a lot of military guys, Oath Keepers and others, that have left the military because of the sickening compromise and the perversion that came under Obama that would return, and I think Donald Trump certainly would benefit from that.
Oh, he would benefit. And, it's not only – and we're going to face that, Scott.
Yeah.
I can see it coming. But when we cleanse, we need to cleanse the Justice Department as well, all the way from the very top, the Attorney General's office down. I mean, it needs a big cleansing, and especially the FBI. Oh, I mean, the whole upper echelon needs to be arrested, period. And
yes,
then move them up the ranks. I mean, that's just the way it is. I wish I could personally sit down with Donald Trump, with you and Paul and some other people that are very knowledgeable and say, let's do this and get it over with. We'll clean it up. Maybe people listening to this radio show will blast it up to info@whitehouse.com or Kaylin McEnany, press secretary, and maybe we can get some noise out of this. Because, Scott, I tell you, war breaks out, buddy. I'm beside you.
Well, I think we're going that direction, and I'll defer to the professor to comment from his academic experience and his instincts of where the country is going and perhaps where things need to evolve.
Thank you. I am inspired. I think the message that you guys are providing is compelling. It's directional. It makes a lot of sense. Just to go up to 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 feet real quick, a couple things have to be in place. If the military is going to cleanse itself, if we're going to cleanse the FBI and CIA and the NSA, almost every agency, every three-letter agency is corrupted. It's a criminal enterprise. They're all criminals. And you have all these criminals at the top, and so that's a thorny problem. So a couple things need to be in place. You got to have capacity and willingness. So not only do you have to have expertise and resources, but then you've got to be sufficiently motivated, incentivized to do what we're talking about here. And I know that it all has to start with a vision. And we've clearly got the vision, and you guys are really articulating the vision very well. And I'm on board with you, and hopefully we've got, a couple thousand in the audience that are willing to pass along this message, because it's already late September. And, what I try and do is, it's called metacognition. That was kind of my claim to fame, or what I tried to do. It's really thinking about thinking. It's critical thinking. It's problem solving. It's being skeptical. It's being cautious. It's being able to frame a problem or an issue. And if you understand what you're up against, then you can come up with a plan or a counter plan for what we're up against. And what we're up against is formidable, because we've been thoroughly infiltrated. And so I guess when I try and give the big picture to people, we are up against an agenda. And that agenda is so dark, so deep, and so vast and so penetrating that we have to first recognize we are up against a spiritual foe. What we are battling is in the spiritual and in the physical. And so I could pick up on anything that you guys said and go a little bit, but 1950 was kind of an interesting year for you to pick, Scott, because In 1950, I read testimony. Oh, I didn't read it in 1950. I've read it, you know, over the years. And it's James Paul Warburg, and he's testifying before Congress. And what Warburg says is, by conquest or consent, we're going to have one world government. So the foe that we're up against are people that believe in this New World Order stuff. And they framed it in very seductive terms like sustainability, inclusivity, and some equality, and then all the hyphenated, instead of justice, we've got social justice. But what they have done is they've infiltrated not only our education system, but our military. And when I'm seeing Noam Chomsky giving speeches to the graduating class, you know, to United States Navy, I'm thinking, this is so perverted. We really are at a battle for our minds and our souls. Can you guys give me just a little bit of perspective? How does the military cleanse itself? How does it work? Now, I want to believe that Donald Trump is legitimate and somehow that he's not really part of this New World agenda, just being a chaos guy, an Israel first guy. I think he is Jesuit-owned and controlled, but boy, I'd like to be corrected on that perspective.
Well, I'll tell you, I honestly think he could do it very quickly by appointing a new Secretary of Defense, such as Senator Dick Black, who was a state senator in Virginia. He was
Scott Bennett? Secretary
I would do it.
Webb in charge of the Justice Department. Brett Landis, Attorney General. Stu Webb, head of the FBI.
Yep.
I tell you, I'd arrest half the FBI immediately with the evidence I've got. Jesus.
And that's it. He appoints a SecDef that goes in and then grabs all the commanders from who are in charge of the Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and says, you're all fired, and I am replacing you with a presidential appointee. And he can call out officers who have been retired. They can be reactivated to those commands and given a battlefield commission by the president. The president is commander-in-chief. He has absolute authority over who manages his military. He is the top general, and everyone in the military underneath it is his subordinate officer. So he can come in and say, I'm putting new people in charge of all the services. And now your job, if you put me in the Army, okay, Scott, you are in charge of the United States Army. Great. I go in and I look at all the commands that the military, the Army has, and I go in and start removing people after, you know, determining who's on the president's side, who's a conservative constitutionalist, who is honest and intelligent and that it can be depended upon, and quickly cut the fat and elect, you know, and bring out people that are worthy and solid and really trim down the military. Fire a lot of people. Say, no, you're not being put up to promotion. Instead of 1,000 people being elevated to general or to colonel or to whatever, no. There's only going to be 300 or 500. I'm going to choose who comes up, and the rest of you, you're gone. And simultaneously, I'm bringing people up. So you can do a musical chairs reshuffling of the military and choose who sits in the chair, and everybody else who's left standing, get out. And not necessarily with your pensions either. But that's how you cleanse the military, is you go in and you just gut it. You just go in and you trim the fat. And it has to be from a top-down approach with a new SecDef, a new combatant commanders in charge of all the services, all working in conjunction with the president, his vision, his character, his agenda for America. And, he can do the same thing in the CIA. He can go in there and say, who's in charge of the CIA? Okay, I'm putting a new person in charge. You go to all your assistant secretaries, all of your department heads, and say, no, you're not in charge of this department anymore. You're being examined for waste, fraud, and abuse under the Inspector General of the CIA, and you are suspended with pay. You're out of here because we don't have to explain why you're being investigated. We just suspect you of waste, fraud, and abuse. And that's how you have an Operation Valkyrie. You go in there and use an inspector general. That's the most important position. Let me add this, Professor. The most important job that can be appointed under the president is that of an inspector general. The inspector general.
Now, Scott, there is an inspector general of each agency.
That's correct.
Plus, we have one what's called the U.S. inspector general, who's the head inspector general over all the other inspector generals who answers to the president. Okay, go ahead.
Well, guys, I want to just interject something.
These are the head cops of every agency that have the right to go in and arrest anybody inside their agency of wrongdoing.
That's
go
right.
Ahead.
The importance of any plan is that it's realistic. Now, Scott, what you just described happened under President Barry. He was able to purge a lot of people, but he had a lot of momentum because before him, I think 41 was in charge of the presidency for 12 years. I think Reagan was just a communist Green Actors Guild who was playing a phony conservative. And so you have 12 years of 41, then you got 8 years of one of the biggest traitors ever in Clinton, and then you got 43. And so it wasn't all that hard for Barry to purge the generals because he had 30 years of momentum behind him. What we're asking from Trump and the people currently in place is for them to change 30 plus years of momentum going the other way. And so I am all for people changing course here, but I also realize, you know, with big ship, it's that trim tab that on the back of the rudder that gives you tremendous leverage. Is there that type of leverage in place? And I just want to bring a question to both you guys. You got this John Durham from Connecticut, and who knows how big a criminal he is. And then you got John Huber from Utah, who's supposedly investigating the investigators. And it's already late September, and I'm looking at a contested election. Is there a realistic time frame? Is there the capacity? Is there the willingness to do these things? Because we're looking at a contested election, and we got one fire drill after another. You know, COVID's the big fire drill, but we got some fire drills going on everywhere. And so I guess my question to you guys is, in the next 6 weeks, can something like this happen? Because I think we're looking at a contested election, and I think that there's a plan that, and I don't know how Trump can't win in a landslide, but then that means everyone's got to get out and vote. It's got to be pretty obvious and overwhelming, and then you're going to get the blowback. Can what we're talking about here, is it realistic?
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation and a call. It's part of a strategic plan that gives consideration to the political realities and the legal constraints of the Constitution. I think the Inspector General Czar is a position that the president can appoint and create, an advisor. If you said, Scott, I want you as my advisor, I'm going to give you the title of Inspector General Czar. You're going to be in charge of every inspector general and telling them to report to me and initiate my orders directly. And I would go to every inspector general of every agency and say, you are tasked, and I'm going to walk with you and investigate waste, fraud, and abuse in every office, on every level, with every person that is employed by your agency. And that's how you root out these spies and traitors who've been working against the president. And you simultaneously uncover waste, fraud, and abuse, and you give it to the Department of Justice for prosecution. So the Department of Justice, with your key people, your special prosecutors, working with an inspector general, can go through and prosecute all of these people and say, look, we're going to charge you unless you retire immediately. And that's how you start pushing them out. And so it's the Inspector General and the Department of Justice going through the agencies and purging them. Go ahead.
Scott, why hasn't this happened so far? Why are we in the fourth year at election time? And some of this, the voters thought that maybe some of this was going to happen. Why are we 3.5, almost 4 years into this, and what you're suggesting appears to not have happened or be happening.
Yeah, it's a very sad, in my opinion, demonstration of a lack of understanding of the power the president has. It's a lack of understanding of government. It's the result of not having good people around him, good lawyers around him that tell him he has the power to do this. I worked in the Bush administration. I worked with the chief of staff and the lawyers. I know exactly what they can do, and that's why I know this can be done. But President Trump has not only had bad people around him who's failed to give him this information, as Senator Black has confirmed, but he's been harassed and harangued and dogged by, of course, the Ukraine impeachment, the Russian collusion hoax, the Comey investigation, the Mueller investigation, the attack on Manafort and Stone and everybody else, and General Flynn. And there's a whole subplot with General Flynn, of course. I met Sidney Powell, and I met General Flynn's brother at a conference, and I was the one who gave them the material that they took back to General Flynn about Covington and Burling, and he fired his lawyers at Covington and Burling and hired Sidney Powell. That was because of me. So the whole reason was, of course, Covington and Burling was deeply entrenched with terrorist financing with the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton State Department, and the Department of Justice under Eric Holder and Lanny Brewer, who worked for the law firm Covington and Burling before they joined government and then returned to them afterwards. So all of this stuff has been harassing and haranguing the president, and he's never had time to breathe. But now I think the country's woken up, and that momentum is shifting. So it is one of the things that he needs to do, but I think he needs to wait until after the election so they can't use this propaganda again.
Now, we've got some distortion going. I don't know if it's the wind or somebody's mic.
It might be. But I'm in agreement with both of you, Scott. If the president would act, and I believe he has been surrounded by trolls and stooges to the max, been given him bad advice. Now, let's go back to the aliens for a minute. People have to understand something. As Super Spook, I use Otis because him and many of his friends that I got to know, if they even knew the others, they would crap. He's dead. They think that's the end of it. Gave me a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Let me tell you. This whole thing could be cleansed in a heartbeat if the president knew what he was up against. Now, under the 1952 to 2012 alien agenda, folks, that is the aliens that made contact with the Germans first, then the United States, and they made a deal. They would give us invisibility and give us flying saucers. We got the flying saucers. Matter of fact, my friend John Hayes, CIA test pilot, CIA pilot, his dad, John Learjet, built the flying saucers from 1952 to 1959. They have 150 of them in an arsenal parked north of Las Vegas, Nevada, in S4. Now, that's a test site. It's got all kinds of stuff out there. It's got an alien base out there, the whole bit. Underneath this alien agreement, they had to register who they possessed. They could possess human beings. These aliens. These are the fallen angels. As I said, Otis, they've got, you're telling me they've got 200,000 of these things registered with the United States government? The NSA says yes to. It's part of the agreement. And they have to register the clones that you brought to my attention that they're making in Hope, Arkansas. These are human beings, folks, clones. No conscience and no soul. I said, Otis, how many of them are there? He said, well, they got 10 million of them registered. But he said, between me and you and so-and-so, my friend at the NSA, he says, we estimate it's more like 20 to 30 million that they cloned. I said, what are they doing it for? He says, an army. One day they're going to create this as their new world order army. I said, what is the deal with the 200,000? If they're possessed, he said, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law, Stu, that now lives in Larry Mizell, has lived for thousands of years. I said, you're talking fallen angels. He goes, yes. He said, but that isn't what the government calls them. They call them the aliens. And I said, well, then if that's the case, I said, is Donald Trump one of them? He goes, no, he's not one of them. I said, what about all the other leaders of the world? He says, not all of them are possessed by these aliens, fallen angels. He says, their aides are, though. He's just like Donald Trump. He's got aides around him that are possessed, who are giving him advice. And that's the problem of these world leaders that's driving us to this new world order, as he used to refer to it as, Daddy Bush's ultimate society. Now, this is what we're up against. And I believe the guy. He never lied to me that I was ever aware of, and I know stuff that people have no idea. No idea. If I started talking national security stuff on this show, I'd be hung the next day. I'm not going to do that. I believe in the security of our country and our toys that we have. We have to have those. But we've got to take the toys away from the boys is the problem. We've got HAARP that moves around the jet stream. The U.S. Air Force is in charge of that. DARPA. You've got chemtrails. Operation Cloverleaf. U.S. Air Force, again, in charge of spraying chemicals upon the American people in heavy metals. We've got to put a stop to this. And, Scott, I don't know whether the president ever could get the commissions he needs to do. But I know one thing. There's a lot of us out here that are Americans that are dedicated to solving the problem. And I see it coming. I see it coming by the end of the year, the middle of next year. You got any comment, either one of you, on this?
Well, let me just say this. Bernie Sanders, there's an article in The Hill about Bernie Sanders telling Bill Maher, that piece of garbage comedian, that, quote, there will be a number of plans to remove Trump if he loses, meaning if the Democrats claim he loses with their fraudulent election ballot harvesting propaganda campaign, boosted by the media propaganda, the Tokyo Rose, Chris Cuomo, and everyone else, that Bernie Sanders thinks that the Democrats are going to be able to initiate plans to remove the president. That's not going to happen, Stu, because you and I would go with guns and rally a whole crew to stand at the White House, and thousands of other people like us would do the same thing to say, this president isn't going anywhere. We are in a civil war. He has commissioned us, and he can do that, to be defenders, you know, of the White House and patriots, posse comitatus. And every American who has a gun, every American that is a motorcycle riding, former military, police, former police, they would all converge on the White House to defend this president. And they would also, in the biggest army ever on planet Earth, converge on the Pentagon and converge on the Congress building. And I think you would have a civil war that no one has ever seen on planet Earth. And we don't start fights, Stu, you know, that conservatives, Republicans, we don't start fights. We don't start civil wars. We end them. When you bring the fight to us, we win it and we end it and we destroy the enemy. We destroy those who start civil wars. We end it. That's how this will go. And Bernie Sanders and these Democrats are trying to put together claims that liberal, effeminate generals and admirals are somehow going to have absolute power and use the soldiers underneath them like pawns on a chessboard to move against Donald Trump. I've got news for them. Every soldier would take off their patch and their rank and turn their guns against their senior officers because they would say, the president is the United States, he is the commander-in-chief, and you are trying to commit a coup against our commander-in-chief. You are under arrest. You are going to be executed by firing squad, and perhaps I'll initiate the firing squad right this second, and they'll pull the trigger. That's, I think, the reality of where we're going, because I just do not see this president being allowed to be removed from office under any circumstances. We are in a civil war. People know it. People like you and I know it more than anybody, Stu. And we are hell-bent. We are passionate. We're convicted. We're locked and loaded. And we are on mission to destroy the enemies of the United States. And that starts with defending our president, our commander-in-chief, who holds the flag. He is our flag bearer. He is our standard bearer. We rally around him and move outward in a fanning operation, and destroy everything in our path, or subdue it and arrest it and put it in holding. That's the real reality that's going to transpire. And as I said before, these punk-ass little bitches and kids who go to Antifa protests and light things on fire and Black Lives Matter, they have no idea of the rattlesnake quick strike that is currently coiled and waiting to spring in the form of conservative, patriotic Americans ready to lock and load and go. And that includes blacks. Okay, this is not a racial thing. There are some of the best soldiers are blacks waiting to go out there and defend this president. So I think that's the new reality. Is going to be when they bring the fight to us, like Eric Holder said, well, when they go low, we kick them. Well, I'd love for Eric Holder to come and say, well, when we claim Trump's not elected anymore, we go in and we take him out. Let's see you try, because you're all going to be turned into dog meat the moment you do. Stu?
Now, I'm in agreement with you there that, hey, and I'm going to help turn him into dog meat. But here's one thing that proves what you just said. When we had the lockdown over there in Virginia, when the governor says, oh, we're going to take everybody's guns while they're under lockdown. Remember the sheriffs, they came out. There was there was 150 of them shows up around the Capitol with M16s, AK-47s, 50 caliber, which, by the way, 50 caliber with the scopes called the 3-mile solution, folks, takes care of the problem. They came out with their guns demonstrated. Screw you, we're not under lockdown anymore. They did it up in where's that female governor, Wisconsin, the little Nazi one?
Michigan. You're talking Michigan.
They did it there. And then they turn around and after they saw Kansas do it, Missouri do it, several other states do it. I think there were 7 over a period of about 14 days. Then they came back in Wisconsin or Michigan and they had a fence up around the Capitol. They busted the fence gate open. They busted the door of the Capitol open. The guards inside stuck their hands up because they had 150 people inside. I talked to somebody that was inside there, Scott. They were inside the place, locked and loaded to arrest the governor of Michigan, that female little Nazi. And she wasn't to be found. She probably went out her back door, slid her little bookcase, and went out the back door and escaped. But that was a show of demonstration of the American people. We will not tolerate this any longer. Now, there are 300 million of us. If we had 25 to 50 million rise at once, it would be over with. Look at the Egyptian revolution several years back. They locked up all the public officials. They locked up all the cops, all the sheriffs, the prosecutors, everybody. Except they did one thing. They went down to the presidential palace to arrest him, and they sat on the sidelines and all got videotaped. And within a short period of time after that was all over and Israel installed their new president in Egypt, what happened? Within 2 years, everybody that was involved in that revolution, were either half of them were executed, the other half went to prison the rest of their life. We cannot make that mistake here, folks. You go in to clean it up. You go in to kick ass. You do it.
If you say you're going to take Vienna, you got to take Vienna. You know, that's what we're up against, and we better figure out what it's going to take Vienna. I want to be respectful of everyone's time. We said we were going to go about 30 minutes. We're at about 50 minutes. Does anyone want to give their closing statement?
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I would just close with people need to be prepared prepared psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually for a left-wing Democrat, a descent into madness, violence, hostility. Do not go and do any operations as a one-man team. Always have a buddy with you, and preferably three. But prepare to defend yourself, your property. Put no trespassing signs. Violators will be prosecuted. Keep out. Defend yourself by giving notice. Put signs out there just be prepared and be ready to go into action to defend this president, and because you're defending our republic from left-wing communist tyrants that will put, if they won power, they would kill us all because we represent their hated enemy, the devil's hated enemy, the white Anglo-Saxon conservative heterosexual male conservative Republican. They hate us with a devilish fury, and we have to be prepared to put that rabid animal down when they come against us and do it with efficiency and absolute merciless exactitude. And the president expects that. He wants that. And I anticipate a victory. I anticipate a renaissance in this country. We just have to be praying without ceasing that that happens. Go ahead.
Scott, one of you want to lead us in prayer? Look, we got a debate on Tuesday night. I want to see that Biden, that demonic piece of garbage, so tied up that he can't even speak. Folks, the power of prayer is so phenomenal. I've seen recently two hurricanes move, take right hooks, not wipe somebody out down on the coast that I know because of their faith and belief. I'm going, oh, my God. God's working miracles.
Let me just say a prayer, and I'll hand it to the professor to continue. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask your blessing and protection on Donald Trump. We ask you to destroy Joe Biden and his arguments and these left-wing Democrats. Yes, Father, we pray for the salvation of all. We pray that all of them have a Paul on Tarsus moment, or Saul on Tarsus when they became Paul. Their eyes are open. Their ears are open. They're giving the saving grace of Christ. But if they are not, we ask you to destroy them. We ask you to send them falling backwards. Send them into darkness. Bring a renaissance in this country. Bring us back to you. Bring righteousness and wholesomeness and all of the blessings that you call us to. Bring that back to America and protect our president. And let him have a magnificent victory in these debates, in this election, and let our people have a magnificent victory and rediscover what America under God is all about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. I'm in complete agreement. Hallelujah. Well said, Scott. I will just add a couple of comments. David Axelrod, he said, where I come from, we throw a brick through your window and accuse you. What we are up against is crazy. What we are up against is insane. Right now, America seems like an asylum to me because it is so crazy. And it's really difficult to argue or reason with crazy. And Scott, you did a nice job of setting it up earlier. These people, they're not operating in good faith. What they have is a totalitarian, tyrannical, scientific dictatorship that they want to impose on us. And at this point, we can occupy and resist as the Bible commands, but we also got to defend our life, our property, and everything that we hold sacred. And I forget the exact quote, but the people that we're waiting for, well, it's got to be us. We're the resistance, and we've got to stand up. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with Stu and Scott, and we ask for your blessings on the message that we're sharing with the listeners. We ask that you give us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to know what your will is, and that we will trust in you and put our faith in you. And it's by your power that we will achieve whatever mission, whatever goals, whatever you have in mind for us. We ask for you to lead us. We ask you by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus to bestow your blessings upon all of us who are believers and to bind those who have a secondary or a agenda that is not yours. And we ask that all of this happens in a timely frame so that we can make the difference that you've assigned us for, because we know before we were in the womb, you knew us. So in Jesus' name, we ask, God, that you take control of America and of the world, and that it be your plan, and that we do your will. In Jesus' name.
And I'm in agreement. And Father, I come for you in the name of Jesus and by your blood and by your stripes. You, Father, my Savior. Father, I ask you to take the White House and cleanse it out. Bring everybody to salvation inside the White House, Father. Everybody to salvation. Those that are unsalvageable, cleanse them out. Have them drop and fall like flies, Father. Take them to hospitals, put them in a grave. I'm asking for warring angels, Father, against the United States Senate, the United States Congress, the United States Justice Department, the FBI, and the head of all the agencies, including the attorney generals, as Scott mentioned earlier, Father, and against this military and the generals inside. I ask for all those, Father, that do not know you, Father, that you remove them, that you send warring angels against them, war consistently against them and remove them. Take this Congress and Senate and drop them like flies. Show them to the American people. Show the American people the truth. Let them have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, Father, at this time. Bring up your army, Father. Us. Bring up the army against the enemy to defeat the enemy, Father. I'd ask for those warring angels to go out there so I don't have to go out there and pick up a gun, but, Father, I'm prepared. And I ask for your warring angels, Father, to be unleashed upon every evil person inside the United States government. War against the Black Lives Matter. War against Antifa. Get rid of them, Father. Get rid of this filth. I ask it in your holy name, by the name of Jesus and blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, let it be. Amen.
I'm in agreement.
Amen. Scott,
thank you, gentlemen. I want to thank you very much.
Scott, give out your website. You got a radio show as well. Give it out, would you?
People can go to shellgamewhistleblower.com. That's the website, shellgamewhistleblower.com. And we do a radio program on Revolution Radio every Wednesday and Friday. That's revolution.radio or revolutionradio.us. You can Google it.
Whistleblower Shell Games or Shell Game Whistleblower?
Shell Game Whistleblower. Shell Game Whistleblower. And the book is Shell Game by Scott Bennett. They can Google Shell Game by Scott Bennett, a military whistleblowing report to Congress, and that exposed my connections with Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, Brad Birkenfeld, all of us exposing the Clinton terrorist financing operations in 2009 to 2012. And we reported it, and it's coming out.
Matt, I have one quick question. You worked with that. You worked in the same building with Edward Snowden, who's in Russia now because he got stuck there escaping the U.S. What was he really exposing that got him into so much trouble?
Well, I'm very cautious on how I describe Ed, and I don't reveal any of the other guys that we were working with. There's a lot of us, and that's part of the White Hat operation. But Ed Snowden essentially exposed all of the illegal George Bush, Dick Cheney, Obama, NSA surveillance operations and technology. A lot of it was developed by Booz Allen Hamilton, SAIC, and the other defense contractors. Ed revealed it, and part of the reason he revealed it, of course, was he had been tasked with tracking down Brad Birkenfeld, the Swiss bank whistleblower, who had originally come over from Switzerland and brought over 19,000 bank accounts that were being used to fund terrorism. And They threw Birkenfeld in jail to cover it up and hide it. And the moment I was directed by White Hats to interface with Birkenfeld, and we reported this, and I, you know me, Stu, I'm like a bull in a china shop. I just, when I see things, I just start goring and attacking and stomping. And I met Birkenfeld and filed all this stuff and said, we need to get this out. We sent it to Mattis. We sent it to General Flynn. We sent it to USA KPOC at Fort Bragg. We sent it to all the Congress Intelligence Armed Services Committees. And Ed Snowden, who knew me, also knew Birkenfeld, and that's what prompted him to leave the country, pack all the materials up, and get out. And I think it's just a matter of time before Trump brings us all together and pardons us and really uses a lot of the material that Snowden had to expose Brennan and Hayden, General Hayden.
Oh, that bastard. He tried to murder me. I want you, Hayden. I got you on my list. I'm going to round you up one day.
Yeah, he is dirty. He is dirty. He's a Booz Allen Hamilton. All of this started with Booz Allen Hamilton. and Covington and Burling, the law firm. That's why they went after General Flynn, because we gave this material to him, and he was asking questions and filing reports. Obama fired him, and then they came after him later, and it's all in the book. It all describes the timeline and the unfolding. And ultimately, I think this is going to be the next big shoe that drops after the election is the shell game, which is the beginning and the end, the two bookends of one of the greatest periods of corruption in the history of the United States.
Well, what do you think about WikiLeaks Assange?
I think he's a hero. I think he should be pardoned, and I think he is reported more government corruption by actors in our own government than anywhere else. I've seen a lot of the WikiLeaks. They came to me when I was looking at Birkenfeld's material, and I saw with my own eyes the State Department cables, which could be used to really execute Hillary Clinton because she committed treason by taking Swiss bank accounts from Union Bank of Switzerland and funneling them to black operations in Libya and Syria. She also made deals with the Swiss to cover this up. She made deals with Robert Wolf, who was chairman of the Americas at UBS, all in exchange for hundreds of millions of dollars being sent to the Clinton Foundation. So what you see Joe Biden doing, he also did in shell game, and it was part of the whole Biden, Obama, Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, Covington and Burling, incestuous cabal of criminal racketeering traitors who were wearing the American emblem on their lapel and a lanyard around their neck, but they were really poisoning and enslaving the American people and the American Republic, and they need to be exposed and executed for being the traitors that they are.
Parasitical leaders. Scott, for our listeners, can you comment, is QAnon a LARP?
Well, I don't know too much about QAnon. I hope for the best, but I never put anything too much into anything. There are descriptions of it being a PSYOP, as being a limited hangout, as being an operation to keep people in check and keep people, quote, trust the plan, so keeping people from stepping out. But at the same time, I've seen a lot of the QAnon material that is very inspiring and hopeful. I haven't seen anything that is counterproductive. So I always give the green lights to these organizations and missions and messages. I just never follow them wholeheartedly. I follow and do what I know and what I'm trained to do and move in my direction and say, who's on my side? Who's shooting at the enemy? Go ahead and shoot. I'll trust that you have bullets in your gun and you're not shooting blanks, but I'm not going to worry about them. I focus on my own impact.
I hear you.
You guys kept the narrative really tight. I appreciate that. Yeah. This has been a tour de force. Thanks for having me on, Stu.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on, Professor Paul. And Scott, thank you very much. And let's do this again.
God bless you, gentlemen. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.